thanksgiving and praise, Father. You are a great God. You are a mighty God, Father. We worship you. Thank you for bringing us here, Father. Thank you for bringing us to this time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Father, thank you that you are our provider. You are our healer. Father, we come to you this morning. We lay every care at your feet, Father God. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. You are above every circumstance, above every situation. We worship your name. We praise you for the great things you are doing right now, Father. We praise you for the great things you are doing now, Father. You are a glorious God. You are a glorious God. Hallelujah. He is a glorious God. Hallelujah. He is a glorious God. Praise the Lord. He is a glorious God. God, I bow before your throne. Glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God, I bow before your throne. Sing with me. Glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God. You are the glorious, glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God. We're going to sing that again. We sing glorious, you are
glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God. I bow before your throne.
You are the glorious.
Your name is Alpha, Omega.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Father God, because you do mighty things and you do glorious things. Hallelujah.
Amazed in your presence, there is nothing you cannot do. Stand amazed in your presence, there is joy, peace, and hope.
Let's sing it again. I stand amazed.
Stand amazed in your presence,
there is nothing you cannot do.
There is nothing you cannot do.
Hallelujah, sing again.
Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope.
There's no one like you, Lord.
There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you
in all the earth,
in all the earth. There's no you, Jesus. There's no one like you.
We're gonna sing you too.
You do mighty things. You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesome.
Time, you do mighty things. You do mighty things.
mighty things.
You do mighty things. You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesomeness.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are beautiful.
You are beautiful beyond all my dreams. Words can't describe your loveliness.
You are glorious.
You are glorious in all of your ways.
We magnify you, Father. You're worthy, O God, of all praise, all worship, all adoration. For who is like unto thee, O God, in the heavens, in the earth, under the earth, in the universe? There's none like you, a covenant-keeping God. Lord, we come before you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. You say in your word, O God, that you seek those who worship you in spirit and in truth. And whatever it is you seek, you find. Because, Lord, nothing is hidden from your view. So, Lord, O God, as we worship, O God, locate us. Bestow upon us, O God, the riches of grace and your mercies, your loving kindness, your tender mercies. Remember for us, O God, your covenant, and do for us, O God, that which we cannot do for ourselves. The Lord, O God, that we at all times are overwhelmed by your goodness. Lord, O God, that praise, worship, and adoration does not cease from our mouths, from our homes, from our churches, our businesses, whatever it is that you've called us to do. You are an awesome God, and we magnify your holy name. We worship you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray. Come, fill us afresh, anew, until we are baptized. This we cannot do for ourselves. Only you, God, can baptize us. Help us live for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Awesome God, you are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome God, you are so good. I worship you. Hallelujah. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Awesome God. I worship you. I praise your name. I praise your name. You're the awesome God. I praise your name. Oh, I praise your name. I praise your name. You're the mighty God, awesome God. Now I praise your name. I praise your name, and I worship you, Lord. I praise your name. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, I love you, love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, awesome, God. You are worthy. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you this wonderful day. Amen. Thank you, saints. I haven't read to you from the journey into the promised land for a while now, but I felt quickened this morning to read to you from that which is captioned for today, August the 29th. It's titled, Before You Move, Before You Move. Before you move. It says, although he was the Son of God, Jesus did not win these victories in his own strength. He did absolutely nothing independent of the Father. None of the tremendous miracles and healings he did were automatic. Jesus said, by myself, I can do nothing. John 5:30. And the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Hallelujah. Before he went out onto the battlefield, Jesus spent time in his Father's presence where God revealed his will to him. Before Jesus began his ministry, he spent 40 days in fasting and prayer and returned in the power of the Holy Spirit unto Galilee. Luke 4:14. Before feeding the 5,000 by multiplying 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he went by boat out into a solitary place where he prayed, Matthew 14:13. Before choosing the 12 apostles, Jesus went to the mountain and spent the whole night in prayer to God, Luke 6:12. Before a great healing campaign in Gennesaret, where the people brought the sick to him, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself where he prayed. Matthew 12. Before he began his ministry throughout Galilee where he preached and cast out demons, Jesus prayed. Before going to the cross, Jesus went up to the mountain before where he prayed. Before he was arrested, beaten, mocked, and crucified, Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane where he agonized in prayer. Make this declaration with me. Before making any move that will affect my life or family, church, or ministry, I will penetrate enemy lines and win the battle in prayer. Praise God. I see now why the Lord said, read today's devotional. I wasn't planning on it just about, I guess, 5-10 minutes ago. The Lord said, I want you to read this passage. And it dovetails with the word that the Lord has placed in my spirit for us today. Today, let us discipline ourselves. in our minds, in our thinking. Before anything, before any move, pray. Don't take things at face value. Even when you think you know what you think you know, before you make the move, pray. Do you receive that? Yeah. Praise God. Mama, come. Take us deeper. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at you guys.
God day, everybody.
Amen.
God day, everybody.
Hallelujah.
A little bit volume so I don't have to talk so loud. Praise the Lord. So good to see you all, children. You're looking good.
Mm-hmm.
You grew. 1 year, you grew taller. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Stretch your hands towards them. Father, we thank you for all our wonderful, beautiful children and teachers. Thank you for everyone in this house this morning. And all those hearing the sound of my voice, minister your grace to every one of them. Touch their lives. They are beautiful, wonderfully made, and fearfully made by you. Lord, these are your children, every one of us, from age 120 plus to zero, those in seed form, those that are already moving in the earth, in every decade of life, 0 to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120 plus. Lord, touch every one of them. Strengthen every one of them. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your glory. Fill everyone, O God, that call upon the name of Jesus. Can you say Jesus?
Jesus.
Remember everyone now. Minister grace to them. According to your riches and glory, meet their need. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you. See you later. Praise the Lord. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you to the service this morning. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word, may fill us through and through, walk in our lives, in our families, in our cities, in our nations, in our careers, in our businesses, in our ministry, in our health, in our wealth, in our speech, in our walk.
Glorified.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to read the word of the Lord. You can sit and read, and then we can stand and pray. Praise the Lord. We're going to read Genesis 12. Hallelujah. The beginning of the Abrahamic covenant. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glorious God. You know, God is a God of covenant. This is the third covenant God is making with man. First one was with Adam and Eve, then with Noah and his sons, and now with Abraham, you know, and we are all included in the Abrahamic covenant. Jesus came and died for us to make sure we are partakers of this covenant. At one time we were not, but we are now included. This is your inheritance. This is the foundation of your inheritance. All right, everybody should be there. There are 20 verses, so let's read quickly. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee. This is the covenant. And I'll curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are there families of the earth here this morning?
Amen.
So somebody say, me and my family, we are blessed.
Me and my family are
so
blessed.
So anybody who curses you, the curse can never work. Amen. Because God has put you in his covenant.
Amen.
Somebody say, I'm in the covenant will of God.
I'm in the covenant will of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Me and my families, we are blessed forever.
Amen.
All the families of the earth. So if you curse me, God will curse you. If you bless me, God will bless you. Somebody say amen. Verse 4. So Abram departed, and as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that he had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. Praise
hallelujah.
The Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now, this is now an extinct people. They no longer exist. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When God called you into a place, you know, the first thing you should be looking for before you buy your furniture and buy all your stuff and fill your house with all kinds of things, you need to be dedicating that place to the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When they arrive, let's read verse 7 again. The scriptures are not for decoration, they are for application. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. When God speaks to you, you need to remember where he spoke to you and give him praise and dedicate that place to the Lord. Say amen. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He called upon the name of the Lord. When you call upon the Lord, you don't know what's going to happen in your family lineage. You know, there's so many messages in this one particular passage, you know, and we'll talk about those some other time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Foundation. Somebody say foundation.
Foundation.
Foundations are very critical. How you build the foundation is going to determine how your family is going to go later. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the
if
Lord.
There is any mistake done in anyone's foundation this morning, we cancel and erase them.
Jesus.
We bring forth the foundation of God into our lives and our families. We are thankful, Almighty God, that they will be corrected and they will now align back into the original intent, God's intent for them to live. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. He built the altar, I call upon the name of the Lord. His grandson down the line that is in his loins, he's going to have an encounter that his life is going to be miserable for a long time. But he's going to end up coming to this particular place. Step back into the place.
Abraham has called the name of the Lord. And in this place, his destiny changed. May God direct you to the right path.
Amen.
May God direct my family to the right path.
Amen.
And your family.
Amen.
We have called on the name of the Lord in this altar and in this city. All our household shall be saved. They will have an encounter with God. It is this place that Jacob decided to lie down, running away from his brother, so that his brother will not kill him. Lay down his head, and angels began to ascend and descend. From the moment Abraham called the name of the Lord, angelic assistance, they were still there. May you fall into that right place. May we fall into the right line. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And Abraham journeyed, verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. He has not reached the correct location. They're still moving. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. Verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee. Let me just do a prayer there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says Sarah is fair and beautiful, that Abraham thinks they will kill him and they will keep the beauty. May the beauty of the Lord fall upon every one of us.
Amen.
Now, even when the enemy sees you, he won't even consider killing you. In the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 13, I say, pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. What a man. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And I'm sure those days, if they had like a, what's that credit card that is it black? That is unlimited. So if it was today, maybe that's what he would have offered to bribe Abraham so that they can look at his wife. So. But this was what they had then. All the goodies he had, he brought them out. Verse 17, and the Lord plagued. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai's, Abraham's wife. Anyone from this moment on, right, try to eye you, eye your family, eye your property, eye your children, eye your husband, eye your wife. This covenant word we are reading today, may they receive the same plague. In the name of Jesus, that they will beg to quickly release. In the name of Jesus. Say a big amen.
Amen.
Verse 18, and Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Any one of your children, your husband, your wife, your anything that belongs to you, that God has blessed you with, that somebody has tried to commandeer or take it and steal it, and I, because of envy and want what belongs to you, may the Lord visit them with the same plague, that they will quickly release your contract, release your blessing, release your sons, Release your daughters. Release your spouse. Release them now. Even those that are married, that their spouse is cheating on them. That person will have an encounter and release that spouse now, that they will go back to their family. In the name of Jesus. Say amen. Verse 20, and Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Say amen. Someone said there will be a transfer of blessings. Just because they made that error to touch any member of my family or your family, what they have, their wealth and their blessings, will now be transferred to my family. That will be their punishment. In the name of Jesus Christ, the living God, Son of the living God. Say amen. Father, we have read your word. We thank you that this anointing that you have given to Father Abraham is functioning. In the name of Jesus. Galatians 3:13, 14 say he died for us to bring forth this into our lives. So this anointing and this covenant blessing is functioning now. It's functioning in my life. Somebody say it's functioning in my life. It's functioning in my family. It's functioning in this church. What belongs to this church that has been stolen in any way is coming back. God will show himself in those homes. God will show himself in those derailers. God will bring everything back. In the day we release, they will be glad. The plague is now in their home and they are running and saying, please go so that I can be free. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bless your name. Let thy word go to work now. Go to. In the name of Jesus. And the angels that excel at the command of his words, go forth now. Bring it now. Bring it to me now. Bring it to me now. Bring it to me now. Every captive child, be free. Every captive husband, be free. Every captive wife, be free. In the name of Jesus. Every captive finance, be free. In the name of Jesus. Bring it to me now. In the name of Jesus. Angels who excel at the strength of his word and the command of his word, go to and bring forth now the answers in Jesus' name without delay. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we bless the nation of Israel. We speak peace to Jerusalem. Peace, peace, peace within her walls and her palaces. Remember your everlasting covenant you have made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In blessing will I bless. Bless Israel. Bless Israel. Bless Israel. And bless all the nations of the earth that bless Israel. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. May Canada bless Israel. May Nigeria bless Israel. May America bless Israel. May all the nations that bless Israel prosper and be in peace. In Jesus' mighty name, heal, restore, and make whole anyone who's sick. Every part of their body responding to the covenant blessing. Jesus has paid the price. We receive the solution, the answers, and the healing. Be healed. Be restored. Be made whole. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Every part whole. Spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we receive. And we thank you for your word. We're about to break and eat. Let the word come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth. Healing, deliverance, restoration, blessings that add no sorrow. And Lord, vibrancy and joy unspeakable. And peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, and the receiver of the word. And those of us who run and publish the word, telling somebody, Jesus loves you, Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, and Jesus sets free. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Covenant-keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, there is no one like you. Covenant-keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, there is no one like you. Praise the Lord. I am always intrigued at how God orchestrates His service, that from the beginning to the end, that He plans it out and He works out the detail. And if we are all flowing in the Spirit of the living God, we are all heading the same direction. You know that I don't give titles to messages. I'm not good at that. But God is good. Amen? And the title of the message this morning is called The Power of Covenant. The Power of Covenant. Somebody say the Power of Covenant. I don't discuss messages with Mama. I'm going to be speaking on this topic. And I really don't talk about messages with anyone, except recently, I guess last week, or the week before, I talked to Kristen about what I wanted to talk about because I needed her to get some video clips ready for me. And but I normally keep that to my heart. And it is so that sometimes the Lord may have 2-3 messages all at the same time bubbling in my spirit. And I don't know which way He wants to go. So it's just chill. This is a stealth deal. The enemy does not know where we're coming from this time. Hallelujah. Praise God. But today I want to talk to you about covenant in a very unique way. Come with me to the book of 2 Samuel. Let me start from there. 2 Samuel chapter 21. The power of covenant. Somebody say it with me, the power of covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God, and He honors covenants. Even when you make a covenant between two people and you don't even have any discussion with God about it, God looks at that covenant because God believes in keeping your word. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21. It says, then there was a famine in the days of David. These were the days of David. There was a famine in the days of David 3 years. Year after year. And David did what? Inquired of the Lord. That's important. Remember what we talked about when I read to you from the devotional, that there's something about why God wanted me to read from that passage. He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." Because he did what? Slew the Gibeonites. Someone say the power of covenant. One more time. The power of covenant. He slew the Gibeonites. And because he slew the Gibeonites, the Bible says there was famine in the days of David, not in the days of Saul. You see, because sometimes the problem is not you, the problem is what preceded you, what you inherited. Somebody else's issues pouring into and bleeding into your portion. But today, by the authority of the word of the Most High God, there shall be a reversal of every misfortune. What my fathers did that plagued me shall no longer plague me. What my mother did that plagued me shall no longer plague me. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that every evil circumstance operating in your life will cease to have authority or power over your life in Jesus' mighty name. It was in the days of David, but David inquired of the Lord. God, I don't understand what's going on. What's happening? Why am I having famine? I'm supposed to be blessed and highly favored. Why am I having these issues? And God says it's because of Saul. What about Saul? Because he slew the Gibeonites. Let's go on. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, "Now the Gibeonites," watch this now, "now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel." They were not Israelites, but of the remnant of the Amorites. They were remnants from the Amorites. The Amorites are supposed to be enemies. Are you with me so far? And the children of Israel had sworn unto them. The children of Israel had what? Sworn unto them. That's a covenant. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. He wanted to break the covenant. And he said, killing the Gibeonites. I'll tell you the bottom line of this story. Remember the word? God is a God who keeps covenant. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver, nor gold of Saul, nor his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What ye shall say that I will do for you?" And he answered, the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let seven men of his sons." I know this part of the story is going to be rather gross, but we're talking about covenant. "Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the what? The Lord." Huh. "In Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them Remember we talked about a young man called Mephibosheth, and I told you I was going to continue the message. Okay, this is a continuation. He says, but the king spared Mephibosheth. The king what? Spared Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is a grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because, this is the reason, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. He said, I made a covenant with your father, and so even though they are looking for seven people to hang, I'm going to protect you. I made a covenant. Amen? Someone said, the power of covenant. I'm coming. So he hides them. But watch this. What was the young man's name that he hid? Mephibosheth. Yes? Okay. Verse 8. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bore unto Saul, Ammoni and, what's that name? Mephibosheth. And that's where the confusion is for so many. Wait a minute, I thought he saved Mephibosheth. Now they hang in Mephibosheth too? No, there are two Mephibosheths. Are you with me? Come. Your name, your person, who you are in the covenant of God is separated from anybody else who has the same name like your name. Listen. You can be a Mephibosheth here, Mephibosheth here, but the Mephibosheth that has a covenant is spared. Because you are in the same block, because you are in the same city, in the same community, attended the same school, the damage that happens to others who are in the same environment with you will never happen to you because you are a person of covenant. I don't know if you're hearing me yet. Being in covenant separates you from what else or whatever it is that's happening to anybody else. I'm a son of covenant. So are you. That's why, in remembering that, no virus, no disease, no sickness, no presence of lack will be present in my life. It does not belong to me. It is not my portion. Therefore, I will not share the tears of sorrow. Hallelujah. 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 I said, you are different. Because of covenant. Now, who are these Gibeonites who are not Israelites? Well, the Gibeonites in the book of Joshua, chapter 9, were a strong tribe when Israel came into the promised land. And Jericho had fallen and Ai fallen, the Gibeonites decided that they were going to trick the Israelites. So they took some moldy bread, all worn out sandals and garments and whatever. They were just 3 days' journey away. And they came to Joshua. And he said, we heard about what God has been doing with you, and we've come to make a league or a covenant with you. Because we know your God is a good God. Are you with me so far? So they made a covenant. They made a league. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 9, I'll take it from verse 3. It says, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly." That's a nice word. "And went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy." Let's go to verse 12. They come to Joshua and to the princes of Israel, and they say, "This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came for to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. You must not live your life based on sight." Verse 13. "And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey," they said. "But this is a key factor right here. It says, "And the men took off their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." They didn't ask God. This, what we are hearing here, is this the truth? Or is this a lie? They did not ask. What did they do instead? It says, "And Joshua made peace with them." He just looked at the surface and made peace with them and made a league with them. He made covenant with them to let them live. "And the princes of the congregation swore unto them, we're not going to hurt you. Just like they did with Rahab in Jericho." They're used to making covenants by this time, making commitments. And they're making a commitment here, but without consulting with God first. And what's happening here? These people live right close by. These are enemies, and they live right there in the community. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. But they had made covenant." Are you with me? They made covenant. They made a commitment. "And their word was to be good." Now, they made a covenant with them, but understand that even when you did not say in the name of Jesus, I promise you that when you give your word, God takes it as a word before him. Huh? It's a word before him. Now, you're going to see the power of this covenant-making situation. And the reason the Lord wants me to speak to you about covenant is this. For you and I to understand that if he holds covenant so powerfully, so seriously, that whatever covenant he makes with us is just as strong and stronger. Amen? They made a covenant. Now, they find out the deception of the Gibeonites. And so the Bible tells us, let's take it from verse 21. through 23. He says, and the priest said unto them, let them live. This is the punishment for the deception of the Gibeonites. Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood. They're going to be woodcutters and drawers of water unto all the congregation. This is your job from now on, you Gibeonites. You're going to cut wood and fetch water. That's your job. You are our slaves from now on, cutting wood for us and bringing us water. That's your job. And then it says, as the princes had promised them, they made them a promise, this is what's going to happen from now on. Verse 22, and Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you, when ye dwell among us? 23, now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen or slaves, and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. Do you get that so far? Okay. So this is your punishment forever. Gibeonites, this is your punishment. We made a covenant. You deceived us. But we're not going to kill you because we gave you our word. But from now on, this is how you're going to serve us. Okay. Gibeonites say, well, it's fine. We accept that. And so they go home. Chapter 10 begins talking to us about a king called Adonizedek. He's a king of Jerusalem. Because remember, Jerusalem was part of the land of the Canaanites and stuff like that. So this king and four other kings come together, being led by Adonizedek, and they are going to go after Gibeon. They want to destroy Gibeon because Gibeon was a great community, great city. The Gibeonites were great, mighty warriors, and yet they've sold out as far as they were concerned. So they're going to go and get rid of the Gibeonites. What do the Gibeonites do? They are in covenant now. Hello? So the Gibeonites call on Israel. It says, help! They want to kill us! And what does God do? What does God do? Does God say, no, those guys deceived you, so you can't go to war with them? You can't go fight for them? No. God honors covenants. Verse 6, chapter 10. The Bible says, and the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thine hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. The Amorites are gathered together against us. We need help. Please come. Come help us. Come. We need your help right away. Don't delay. Don't be slack concerning this particular situation. Come help us right away, they cried. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal. He ascended from Gilgal, and the Bible says, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor, they come. What are they going to do? They are going to fight against these five kings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, before I go into the details, the Amorites are seers. They are people that are speaking. They're always speaking something. The Amorite spirit is always speaking negativity into your life. And they are there to bring disaster into the lives of the people of God. And here they are coming against another Amorite. How dare you start speaking good things about our common enemy? Hello? You see, when God has blessed you, there are going to be people who are enemies against you that are going to speak the right thing about you. And they might be at your workplace, in your business place. They might be contractors and that you work with and whatever else. And then there are going to be this other group that really don't want you to succeed that will gang up on your enemy that has become your friend. Are you with me? That's what's happening here. These five kings are going after this Amorite tribe called Gibeon. They want to destroy them. Now, what does God do? Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. This is not Israel's battle. Do you understand? This is a battle for Gibeon. But God is speaking to a people that are in covenant with Israel as if they are Israelites. Hello? The power of covenant. Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Ha! Huh? Let's go. Joshua therefore came unto them, how? Suddenly. The Gibeonites said, don't be slack. And they got what don't be slack is. They moved swiftly. When it's time to do anything in the kingdom of God, when you have instruction to do something, be swift about it. Hallelujah. When it is time for something, when the fullness of time comes for anything God has for you, it happens fast. Let me say that again. It happens fast. Let me say it again. It happens how? Fast. When we moved into this building, it happened fast. It was not because of how much money we had in our pocket. It just happened fast. When it's fullness of time, it happens fast. Hallelujah? Yes. Get that. Get that. Now, get this. because of you and your covenant with God, and because you have made a covenant with somebody else, that person gets protected and blessed because of you. The company that you work for is blessed because of you. You take you out of there, and the whole thing collapses. Because God wants you blessed. Therefore, anybody who comes against you is coming against the promises of God. So therefore, we declare today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that any spirit and anything that is resisting the plan and purpose of God for your life, for my life, for our church, for our calling, any such thing receives the judgment of God immediately. The name of the Lord is not going to be blasphemed. Hallelujah. His glory shall not be tarnished. Praise God. Joshua moved suddenly, and the result, verse 10, said, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel. And slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and to Makkedah. And watch this. And it came to pass as they fled before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. Ah! The Lord did what? Cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Why? They made a covenant. They should have inquired of God first and not made that covenant. But as soon as they made that covenant, God became indebted to the Gibeonites. It is important to be careful who it is that you make covenant with, because the covenant you make with them transfers the glory that God has upon your life to impact them also. Hello? Somebody listening? You say, Pastor, but you're always preaching from the Old Testament. You need to understand the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. Hallelujah. God is a covenant-keeping God. If you get unequally yoked with an unbeliever, because you're a covenant person, they get saved, blessed, delivered, whatever it is. Listen to the word of God. He says, when you are married, even though you are married to an unbeliever, now you became a believer. He says, not only are you saved, but because of you, your family gets saved. Amen. Is someone listening? It's right there in your Bible, in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That's why it's important that you know what you are committing yourself to. God releases hailstones and wipes all these guys up. And guess what happens? While Joshua is busy battling with this Amorite king, and he needed a longer day, he said, this is connected to Gibeon. He says to God, keep the sun up there until I finish. It was not another, they were not fighting for somebody or for themselves. They were fighting on behalf of Gibeon, the people that they made covenant with. The power of what? Covenant. So now, these are the Gibeonites that Saul went to mess with. He thinks, well, that was in the days of Joshua. It doesn't count anymore. Really, it doesn't count anymore? He goes and he starts killing the Gibeonites. And God says, really? You're going to break the covenant? These guys were told they were not going to be killed, and you're going there to kill them? What is your punishment? Famine. There are so many people that are going through famines in their lives based on broken commitments. When you make a commitment to somebody, honor it. That's why you must not be flippant in making commitments. Oh, you know, when I have some money, I'm going to buy you a car. You better buy that car. You understand? You better buy that car. And don't come up with some excuse. Because what you are going to generate, maybe not for you, for your children, is so much pain and anguish because of broken covenants. Covenants are important. I will build you a house. Better build that house. The Word of God says, when you make a vow, honor it. Pay it up. You made a commitment. I'm going to do such and such. And God says, I'm here to collect. So when you make a commitment, you cry to God, God, I've made a commitment of faith. I trust you to give to me because I can do nothing without you. Give it to me so I can honor my commitment. And you honor the commitment. The commitment that you make in your heart, even when you've not voiced it to a person, is just as strong as a commitment made to them. Because every commitment is first and foremost unto the Lord. Somebody listening? We want the famine to cease. Praise God. We want the drought to cease. You make a commitment, follow up with it. In real terms, I've seen this happen so many times. And sometimes you don't know what to say to people. Because they have broken covenant. And they're not going to come out of that particular situation without an atonement being made. And David understood it. David came to the people of Gibeon and he says to them, what is it that I need to do? So that you Gibeonites can bless. They are not Israelites, but you Gibeonites can bless us. Because we broke a covenant. I didn't do it, Saul did. But the consequences of his actions is now flowing into my portion. And this must not be. I got to break this cycle. Some of you remember many years ago, and I had the Bishop Simeon Oker, speak to us, I guess, about 2 months ago. He used to be my first pastor, the first real pastor that we had in the church that started in our living room. And many years into it, there was a fallout. Now, I can't say this way or that way, who was right or wrong. I just knew there was a fallout. And there was a separation. Now, I'm installed exactly 20 years from the time of my calling to be bishop over the ministry. Because now it's spread. But I will not take that seat. I will not sit on that seat of bishopric until I did one thing. What was that one thing? Go back and deal with this bishop and repent on behalf of whatever it is my father and whoever else did. Whether he was right or wrong did not matter. What mattered was, I'm going to be at peace with you. This is the deal. I'm going to be at peace with you. And when I did that, I sat on my seat. I finally felt right. I can sit on that seat of being a bishop over the ministry. Because when you make a covenant, you must understand that it is backed up. The Bible says that the eight, let's go back to chapter 9. Bible says they had victuals after they talked about how bad things were. I believe it should be somewhere around verse 12 or 13 of chapter 9. It says, okay, I'll read 13, 14. It says in verse 14, all right. It says, and the men took of their victuals, that's sacrifice, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't ask God counsel, wisdom, seek the face of God to find out whether they should come into covenant. But as soon as they ate together, it was stamped. Whether they asked God or did not ask God, stamped. You brought me into this case, I stay on this case. And I'm saying to you today, by the authority of the Word of God, that whatever God promised you, He has not forgotten. In fact, He will remember His covenant for you and for me. Don't allow the issues that are surrounding you to cause you to falter and think God is not going to do this or God is not going to do that. God is going to do what God is going to do. He is so committed to you that He is now also committed to whoever it is that you have given a commitment to. Hallelujah. Listen, child of God, you're in business. And you have a covenant relationship with God. And you are now in covenant with somebody else because you've come into a contract. And that's a covenant. Because God has blessed you, whatever problem this guy over here is having, you have the authority to intercede for them, to turn their situation around so that they can become a blessing to you. I'm in covenant with you. So what do? I pray with you and pray for you. Because your well-being is my well-being. And my well-being is your well-being. Hallelujah. We're in covenant. That means that whatever the enemy is planning cannot work. Glory be to God. You don't know how many battles have been won for you without you even recognizing that somebody was battling and solving issues for you. What testimony is it if the people that are in this household are dropping dead? Does that give God any honor? Of course not. But if God keeps us alive, and this is not a funeral home, praise God, then nobody's allowed to die here. You have to ask permission. And when we think, okay, you really, really want to go? Yes, I want to go. Are you really, really sure? Yes, I'm really, really sure. Lord, what do you have to say about this? No unemployment here. That is a statement. And we're in covenant. That means I don't care whatever it is that's happening in that business. If they fire and lay everybody off, you are still there. It's called covenant. And you need to be careful who it is that you're in covenant with. Praise the Lord. You need to be careful where you covenant with. And part of our covenant is in our finances, where we are putting our offering. That's why, as a child of God, you must not be putting your money into a ministry. I don't care how silver-mouthed the person is, silver-tongued, or whatever it is. That you know this person is an adulterer, this person is a drug addict, this person is a whatever, and you are putting your money there to foster that ministry. You come into covenant with that, and guess what? Whatever it is that's flowing into them is flowing back into you. So before you give anything, don't, oh, they were crying, you know, said, well, if we don't give us this, we're going to go under. I say, maybe God is wanting you to go under. I need to check with God first. God, what do you want me to do about this situation? How should I respond? And God will show you what to do and how to respond. And when you have invested in a ministry, you need to draw on the grace of God upon that that anointing upon that ministry and say, God, this is where I've put my investment. I'm in covenant with you and in covenant with this ministry. And I've put my funds there. God, you honor your word. Do something. Step in here and do something. Because God honors covenants. He sent hailstones, big rocks from heaven to wipe out the enemies of the Gibeonites. Even though they deceived Israel to come into covenant. God says, I don't care about that deception. All I care about is that you are in covenant with my people. Sharp, sharp, we're going to do something about it right now. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Are you getting the word? Amen. Well, let's look at some of the promises that God has given to us. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24, the word of God says that God remembered the covenant. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24. He says, and God heard their groaning. It's the groaning of the people of Israel. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. He remembered it. I made a covenant. I remember that covenant. In Exodus 6 and verse 5, he says, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. And his covenant was, well, after a certain time, the children of Israel were going to go away free. And the covenant of God is our freedom, our deliverance, our prosperity. So what do we do? We've got to draw on the covenant of God and say, God, you have covenanted with us that this is what you're going to do. I receive the blessing of the covenant. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, we read these powerful words. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. You remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power or forces or armies, ideas, whatever, to get wealth. God gives you this to get wealth. Whatever that power is, he gives it to you to get wealth. Why? that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. What day? This is the day of the establishment of the covenant. Amen? Whatever day that is, this day is a day of the establishment of the covenant. And when God, remember something we said, when God wants something done, he does it sharp, sharp, quickly, suddenly. Glory be to God. I don't know where those words sharp, sharp came from today, but I take it. Yes, the Nigerian saying, sharp, sharp. This day, God wants to establish his covenant. Therefore, I receive power to get wealth. What does it say? Power to what? Put your hand on your head. Say with me, Lord, remember your covenant. You are the God who gives power to get wealth, that your covenant be established. I receive power. I receive power. I receive power to get wealth in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive the power to get wealth right now, this day. Be activated. Power of the living God, be activated to bring me wealth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Power to get wealth. Glory be to God. That's why you must not be jealous or envious of somebody that is wealthy. All you need to do is say, me too. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I like that thing that you bless that guy with. I don't want theirs, I want mine. If you want theirs, that's being covetous. But if you want yours, that's liking good things. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be eyeing other people's stuff. Get yours. There's a covenant relationship that God has established with us. Amen. Hallelujah. That means when God blesses any man or woman of God, a brother, a sister that you're in covenant with, you can say, me too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 105 and verse 8. Psalm 105 and verse 8. He says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. God remembers the covenant. Hallelujah. 1,000 generations. The Lord made covenant with us. It's called the New Covenant, the New Testament. In his blood, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon him, and by the stripes that he bore, we were healed. It is mine now. I must walk in divine health today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Divine health and divine prosperity. Forget about those liars that keep on saying to you, well, that's not what God meant when he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It was just a greeting. Oh, wait. Just a greeting? I'll take that. But it means that the blessing was pronounced. I am going to be in divine health and in divine prosperity. Poverty is not my portion. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor so that the poor can stay poor? No. Oh. No. God is in covenant with me. Hallelujah. And because He was in covenant with the people of Israel, He was able to supply manna and quail, bring water out of the rock, and said, if you just only trusted me, I would have brought oil out of the rock. Whatever it is that you need, we're in covenant. Covenant-keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, there is no one like you. He's a covenant-keeping God. Psalm 106 and verse 45. Psalm 106 and verse 45. And He remembered for them His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His mercies. He repented according to the multitude of His mercies. What is that all about? He sees His sons and His daughters suffering things that they should not suffer. And He remembers His mercies and says, even though they don't deserve it, because of my covenant, I extend mercy. Someone say, I receive mercy from the Most High God. El Elyon, I receive mercies from you. You're the Most High God. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 21. I love this particular passage. It says, do not abhor us. Don't shun us. Don't cast us aside for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Hallelujah. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. God, if I'm eating from the garbage, your name is going to be disgraced. Your name is going to be blasphemed. God, if I'm driving a car and I'm your son, your daughter, and my car is fogging the whole city. I drive and when I change gears, poof, the whole place is smoky. I'm burning oil. That is not the oil of the anointing, I tell you that. Hallelujah. This cannot be. Hallelujah. I cannot be driving a rust basket. Bucket. Whatever. My name is not Flintstone. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, the devil's a liar. But the devil wants us to think poverty is sainthood. That's the devil's such a devil. And we must not buy his lies. The next time somebody comes and says, why are you driving that nice car? If you had just sent that money to Africa, to Haiti, to wherever, you know how many orphans you would have taken care of, how many people you have taken care of? Tell them this. The day I bought this car, I paid good money. And this good money paid the salary of so and so and so and so and so and so. And they have children. My money is taking care of families. Is that not true? Praise the Lord. Don't shortchange yourself because you want to please men. Enjoy life to the fullness. He gives you power to get wealth. But when you get whatever it is that you've gotten, don't remember who blessed you and made you who you are. Praise God. Praise God. God, don't let your name be disgraced. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Remember your covenant. Don't break your covenant, because if you break your covenant with us, your throne is going to be disgraced. You get it? There's going to be shame on your name. So for your name's sake, bless me, man. Bless me, God. I'm here. Bless me. Bless me. Glory be to God. I want to walk in the blessing. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. He's a God of covenant. If anything's not happening right in my life, I need to cry out to God and say, God of covenant, fix this. If the people of Gibeon can cry out to Israel, and God comes to fight for them, God will do the same thing for us. If Saul starts killing the Gibeonites and God sends famine because a promise was broken, what do you think God is going to do? Hallelujah. There's power in the covenant. Amen? Amen? But there's a covenant that overrides covenants. In 2 Samuel, we see that. If I read that to you again, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 60. Ezekiel 16 and verse 60. Ezekiel. You have Exodus there. I want Ezekiel chapter 16. Is that Ezekiel 16? And verse 60, 60. It says, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. And I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. There are promises God made to you when you were young, and God has not forgotten them. Hello? God has not what? Forgotten. God forgets nothing. If God gives you a word, He doesn't change it. He brings it to pass. It's not for you to figure out how God is going to do what God is going to do. It's your responsibility to just believe Him to do what He's going to do and trust Him to bring it to pass speedily. And He will do it. Amen? Never give up on God. Let me say that again. Never give up on God. Because if God, watch this, if God can honor a covenant that you made with somebody that you should have not made covenant with, what will He do for you when you make covenant with Him? He will keep His covenant. Whatever God has spoken to me through the years, I know He will do. He will do it one way or the other, by all means possible. Hello? Even if he has to cause rocks to cry out, he'll keep his covenant. Amen. The passage Mama read to us earlier today in Genesis 12 says that they set their mind to go to Canaan, and they got to Canaan. They got there. Whatever you set your mind to do, don't turn your face away and give up and say, it is not possible. All things are possible to them that believe. Your covenant is not in believing the lies of the enemy. It's in believing the truth of God. You see, because you come into covenant when you believe the lie and you accept it as a truth statement. Oh, you're going to die from cancer. We give you 3 months. If you buy into that, you might not even last 3 months. Or you can go to God and say, covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, there is no one like you. You are my healer. I've heard the statement of the doctor. This is their diagnosis. But you have the prognosis on this particular situation, and I accept what you said pre their diagnosis, that by the stripes that you bore, I am already declared healed, so I'm going to walk in divine health. I remember a word of the Lord, I don't know how many years back now, maybe about 3-4 years ago. He said, listen, when I say I'm giving you life, even though your body may be ravaged with cancer, and it seems like there's no change, that does not mean you're going to die from cancer. He says, you can have whatever it is they say you have, and you live life like you don't have it. And I'm hearing the Lord say that. I'm saying, what are you talking about? Everything in the natural says this is what has happened in your life. And God says, it still doesn't count. Let me put it another way to you. The X-ray says you've got a broken leg. Sure it is. And you cannot walk. That is true. But God says you can walk. And broken leg or no. God did it for my sister. God said, let me tell you this story and I'll be done. She's gone home to be with the Lord now. But this is what happened. She fell, broke her thigh bone, went for surgery, and the thing will not heal. And her bone kept on coming out, chip after chip, just infested. No antibiotics, nothing could stop it from oozing pus. I heard from the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to heal your sister in August. This is like after about 10 years of her being in this state. I was in a meeting just like this. I got so excited. I heard God. And I sent a letter to my sister. I said, God says you're going to be healed in August. August came and went. Nothing. What? God, I expected you. You said August and nothing has happened. Left the States, came to Canada. She was still in that state. And I was in the Fort Kapale Valley ministering. And I get a call from Mama. And she says to me, your sister is walking. I said, she's healed. When did this happen? In March. I said, March. God said August. So I sent a letter to her. This is, remember, I sent her the letter maybe 4 or 5 years before. I sent a letter to her. I said, tell me exactly what happened. And she starts her letter. It was in the month of August. She was laying there. There's no bone here. This leg is already messed up. So she has no legs to walk on. He says, I heard a voice inside of me say, stand up. So I stretched my hand and I grabbed the window protectors and pulled myself up and got back down. That's when it started. But in March, she wheels herself to a service. And she's in the service. The man of God calls for prayers, and she's going to minister to the people and prayed for everybody. And she's wheeling herself back, and the man of God says, come back here. Grabs her, and she stands up. No humerus, no bone. There's no bone here. There's no bone. Do you understand? No bone?
Yes.
No bone. Yes. But she starts walking. She starts walking. God did not grow any bone there. Didn't replace the bone. She walked without bones in there. That's what I'm talking about. When God makes a covenant, He doesn't need to change anything. But whatever it is He said He's going to do, He's going to do. That's why you must not leave your eyes based on what you see in the natural. Place your faith in God. The God who kept an honored covenant hundreds of years later with Gibeon is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will do the right thing by you. He will force everything into its proper order. And I declare this day in the name of Jesus that there is a reversal of every misfortune. Whatever mess up has happened in our lives is eradicated because of the multitudes of His mercies. Father, we receive mercy. And thank You, Lord, that any broken covenants are this day corrected because Your word is forever true. Your throne shall not be disgraced. Your name shall not be blasphemed. Be exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords. And all of gospel together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, the word of the Lord that's placed on my heart for us today has been given. And please do remember that there is power in covenant. And every promise of God is a covenant promise to you. And you can draw on that and say, God, remember what You said. You said this. You said that. Do for me what You said You will do. And do it suddenly. Make haste. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rise with me. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for You. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for You. Master, we are here. Jehovah, we are here. Yahweh, we are here. We are here. Yeshua, we are Emmanuel, we are here, we are here for you. Jesus, we are here, Jesus, we are here, Jesus. We are here, we are here for you, Lord. There's no other place we'll be than to be here with you. You are the covenant-keeping God. Remember your covenant for us. The things, oh God, that have not even crossed our minds, that you have in store, release, bring to us, establish your covenant. Help us, oh God, to glorify your name. May our lives not bring shame to you. May our lives not bring disgrace to your throne. But Lord, oh God, because of your multitude of mercies, God who elevates, do for us what no man can do. Cause even our enemies to speak well of us. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, blessings galore, blessings galore, blessings galore from every direction. Lord, oh God, let your blessings pursue after us and overtake us, that we may continually be head and not tail, above only and never beneath. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. I want to thank God for every one of you that has faithfully committed yourself to giving in one level or the other, honoring God with your tithe and your offerings. Really appreciate that. I want to thank God for those of you that made commitments concerning the reno that we're going to be putting together. We talked about it. We're going to be having a large 30 by 14 screen right up here. The stage is going to be enlarged to accommodate the changes and carpeting all over this place and chairs, new chairs and all of that. Some of you made commitments towards that end and have honored it. Some just started with a primer, that's what I'll call it. You know, we can do better than that. And I heard from some of you said, you know what, this is the commitment I made, I was going to do this. I've done that already, but I'm going to do more than that. And I thank God for that. Now, some of you have made commitments and you've not honored it as of yet. And as I've said prior to this time, those of you who've made that kind of a commitment, before you put it in the offering plate, put that envelope in my hand. So this is what I'm doing. I'm honoring God with this commitment, and we are, I guess, about a third into what we need just over a third of what we need to get things done, and but done it is. Praise God. I said it is done. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are in thanksgiving. Praise God. And I want you to participate in this. Praise God. Wow. 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 Look at the little ones. Wow. Look at, oh my Lord. Wow. Father, I bless these little ones. Lord God, cause greatness to abound towards them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. They're participating. God bless you. Bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are wanting to make a commitment towards it and you've not done so already, just come. Oh, praise God. Oh, receive it. Wow. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I declare you blessed in every area in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When we participate, when things are happening, we get to enjoy it. When you don't participate and you didn't give your best towards it, it becomes an eyesore, it becomes an issue. And as I said some time back, when something's happening in the church and certain people don't get involved, the next thing they do is they start finding fault. They start finding fault because they want to find an excuse to step out of the church. Because whatever it is that they're doing or seeing is a challenge every time. I bless you in Jesus' name. I declare the goodness of God revealed in every aspect of your life. Your sacrifice will be met with favor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've honored God with our giving. Those of you online, you challenged to do the same. Just let us know when you're giving, that it is towards the renovation or whatever. Mama, could you please come? Well, changes. Glory be to God. Amen. Mama said she thought there was construction going on. Yes, there's construction. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good? Hallelujah. Rise with us. This is part of the covenant of God. When we take from the table of blessing, we are participating in covenant. This is the most wonderful time that we can say, God of covenant, fix what needs to be fixed. Because the reality in life is this, there is nothing, there's absolutely nothing that God cannot fix, that God cannot resolve, that God cannot do. The issue that stands in your way that will be a problem that God cannot solve does not exist. Did you hear that? It does not exist. There is no place that God has blessed you to have entrance into that you can be blocked out of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear you, Lord. What I'm hearing in my spirit right now is really powerful. Oh, wow. Judah made covenant in Genesis 38 with a woman called Tamar to give her the son to be a husband, and he did not plan to do it. Finally, by her actions, she enforced that covenant. But that's not the part that God is speaking to me about. There were two boys that were to be born. One came out already, stuck his hand out, and a ribbon was put on his hand, and he pulled himself back. But he was already in the matrix. The brother that is behind comes out first. In other words, he disappeared from here and appeared over here. And I'm hearing God's Spirit say that there are situations that you're going to face where it is like you've been blocked, but you are going to access the office that you need to access while they are still here trying to block you. They will not see you to block you because you would have finished and gone home. Hallelujah. The promotion that is yours, and nothing shall stop it. No words. Let the Amorites say whatever it is that they want to say. God has his secret plan for your life. You will make it and not fail. In Jesus' mighty name. By covenant, as we take of this covenant bread and eat, let God do the extraordinary in all of our lives. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Take and eat in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a covenant-keeping God. We have a blood covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So his blood speaks better things. And his blood says, you shall be blessed.
Amen.
I shall be blessed.
Amen.
His blood says, I am healed.
Amen.
I am restored.
Hallelujah.
I am made whole.
I'm made whole.
The blood say, I have peace.
I have peace.
The blood say, I have health.
I have health.
So everything the blood covenant says, it is.
Yes.
He gives us power. The blood says he gives us power to yes, get Lord. Wealth.
Yes.
So all the wealth you need for your health, for your family, your finance, to establish your home, your children, to have a great future, it's in the covenant. So we take of the blood of Jesus, the blood of God. You got royal blood. So when you take it, health is moving in your system.
Amen.
Rivers of living waters are inside your system.
Amen.
Rivers of blood are all now fresh blood. Mm. Fresh blood.
Hallelujah.
If you have less blood in your system, we say let your blood increase.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. If you are anemic, be healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you have cancer in your blood, be healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Any part that you are sick of, as you take this, the flow takes place.
Yes.
They must live in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Life is in the blood.
Hallelujah.
We speak the life of God into the blood,
yes,
into
Lord.
This wine.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen. Praise God. Say, I'm blessed.
And
highly favored of the Lord.
Highly favored of the Lord.
I'm a person.
I'm a person.
Of covenant.
Of covenant.
I have a covenant.
I have a covenant.
With the Most High God.
Most High God.
A covenant. That will be remembered. And will be upheld.
And will be upheld.
Supernaturally.
Supernaturally.
For my favor.
For my favor.
And for the glory of God.
Glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated for just a quick moment. Thank you. They showing me the all the renditions of the meeting or the transformation that's going to take place here. But our next conference is going to be on the 6th and the 7th of September. And it is captioned, Partnering with God. Amen? Partnering with God. Does it sound like covenant?
Yes.
Amen. And every son and daughter, and I know that many of you like watching from home and whatever else. It's good to be in the ground. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, come. Let God minister to you during this conference. Let God speak into your lives. It's going to be a prophetic time as God will want us to link in with Him. And right after this particular conference, we're going to have another one. The 2 weeks later, I think it will be. My God is a way maker God. Hallelujah. That's a way maker conference. And then after the Waymaker conference, there's going to be 7 days. The Waymaker conference is going to be 2 days also. And the final conference is going to be 7 days. And we're going to have speakers. The first two will be in-house conferences. I'll be speaking to us as the Holy Spirit leads. But the last one, we're going to have also two speakers from the land of Israel. Amen? Hallelujah. Two great ministers ministering right there from the land. And they're going to be speaking to us powerfully. And that's God My Deliverer Conference. Amen? God My Deliverer Conference. Chains are going to be broken. And God will do His thing in our lives. So be reminded about these three major conferences that we're having in September. This is the first time everything is all together in 1 month. This is like a repeat of January. Amen? But this is a new start. So be ready for those meetings. Plan on being part of it. Participate and let God's hand rest upon every one of us in a glorious way. Amen? God bless you. We'll see you again tonight. Is there anyone who is here for the first time? Any first timers? Anybody here for the first time? Oh, over here. Well, bless you. I've released those of you on YouTube and Facebook Live. God bless you richly. All right.